Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Why it matters.
Money FM 89.3, it is the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker. It is now time for Why It Matters. And in today's digital age, the demand for tech talent is skyrocketing, especially in thriving tech hubs like Singapore. And with its vibrant tech scene, strong government support for innovation technology, Singapore has become a bit of a hotspot for businesses looking to hire top-notch tech professionals. But navigating the hiring process in such a competitive market can be quite challenging. In fact, there was a recent survey that showed 86% of chief information officers reported facing more competition for qualified candidates, and 73% expressed concerns about IT talent attrition. Well, there is quite a crunch, and it's far from over. It's a global phenomenon affecting countries like the US, China, Japan, Germany, the UK. The list goes on. In fact, by the year 2030, the tech deficit in the US financial and business services sector alone is expected to reach 600,000. Closer to home, though, how can organizations better navigate this tech talent shortage in Singapore? On the line to help me out is Dinesh Varadharajan, who is Chief Product Officer for KissFlow. Dinesh, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Yeah, thanks for having me here as part of the show.
Quite a conversation we're going to get into. First, let's try and understand the reality of the tech talent shortage. Do you think there is a true tech talent shortage? I mean, are we not, where the education system is concerned, trying to fill those gaps as far as possible?
To a large extent, yes. But again, the talent shortage is quite high. One of the reasons actually started with COVID, right? Because everyone suddenly want to automate everything. But again, COVID is not the only reason, because this age of digital native, for example, if you look at the e-commerce companies, how do a traditional SMB supermarket compete against e-commerce companies, all right? So all the business want to transform how they they run the business. But again, the talent pool is fairly limited, right? And so all the business are trying to pick people from the same talent pool. And the talent pool will not grow at the pace these businesses are trying to transform themselves. That's the reason for the tech shortage, not just in Singapore, all around the world.
Okay, Dinesh, help me out with this one. So on one hand, we've been hearing a lot about this tech talent shortage. You've explained some of the origins of it as well. But at the same time, we're also hearing a lot of tech layoffs. Would it be correct to ask where the balance is, or should we look at the layoffs as something that's more cyclical?
Not really. It's, again, the business reality, right? For example, if you look at the reason for tech talent, is not about solving extremely complex problems as well, all right? For example, a business to run, the business users might need to automate a lot of their use cases. But again, if you look at people who are solving it for them, they're super expensive, right? And while the business want to automate, they don't want to spend extraordinary money to solve all the simple use cases for the business, because it may not be critical for the businesses to run, right? For the users, it's important for the teams, for the departments to run. But the business priorities lay elsewhere, right? So this is the conundrum, right? So while there is a need to automate, there is also a need to automate at a very low cost.
Okay.
Now, that's a challenge here. And especially when you have a limited tech pool, you don't want to waste them in automating all the business use cases and the small use cases of the businesses every day, right? You want to actually put them in fixing the engine that runs the business, making them solve the core business use cases,
okay,
like all the ERPs and CRMs of the world.
What about critical strategies that can be put in place to navigate this tech talent shortage? Especially here in Singapore.
People who are closer to the problem know how to solve it better.
Okay.
Leave it to the business teams.
Okay.
Right? Because business teams know their challenges. Most of the time, because of limited IT bandwidth, the IT teams may not be able to help the business teams. So if the business teams can solve their problems themselves, you don't have to actually hire a huge tech team as part of your IT organization. So it is about enabling the business, allowing the business to be part of the transformation. That's probably the most critical need in any business to reduce the reliance of the technical staff that are out there.
So then, in light of what you've just said, would hiring remote talent be a solution, or is that something I should try to avoid as much as possible if I am a Singaporean business?
No, you should still hire tech talent, but not for all the use cases the business want to solve, right? If you look at any organization, you have the core applications, right? It's like the engine that runs the train. So for anything that is as critical as that, hire the tech teams. They are like the, to solve those use cases. But there are like thousands of other use cases where you don't need the technical team, right? Where you can introduce tools like no-code, low-code, which allows the business users to solve that without relying on the technical teams, right? So both need to go hand in hand. You need tech teams to solve the more critical use cases of the business, and you need the low-code products to allow the business teams to solve many of the problems they have without relying on the IT teams.
Okay, I see the balance there. What about onboarding strategies? Dinesh, any thoughts on this? How can a good or bad onboarding strategy affect a new employee with a company?
Mostly, if you look at the new employees, right? These employees are millennials. They are like all the 20-25-year-olds. They're quite adept with technology, right? They are born in the age of smartphones, right? They know how to install, use applications. So onboarding is much more simpler than it is like 20 years back or 10 years back. So this new generation of employees who are joining the workforce right now, allow them to express themselves, right? Give them or enable them with technologies which allows them to solve their problems, right? If you're able to do that, they will be able to contribute to the business much better than any of the older employees out there, because they will be able to use these technologies and they will be able to be part of the transformation, business transformation as well. So the onboarding process needs to change. Instead of actually communicating how they should behave inside the organization, just empower them, enable them to solve their problems, and they will actually do magic for you.
Ah, well, I guess here's where the question about KissFlow comes into play. Tell us a little bit about KissFlow and how do you guys support these concerns?
Okay, the KissFlow, actually, we started off with a vision to democratize computing, right? We believed if I am running the business, I am the best person to solve my problem, right? It is about enabling the users to implement their own applications or implement their own processes. But most of the time, if you think about the low-code platforms in general, that's a steep learning curve, right? If I am running a business, I may not know anything about systems. I may not know anything about databases or schemas, right? So it is not about educating the users. Rather, it is about understanding how the users think and creating the product that is extremely closer to the way they think about the problem, right? So there is no learning curve, right? They'll be able to immediately pick up the tool and then implement a solution that solves the problem. That's the origin of KissFlow, right?
Okay.
We have actually thousands of organizations around the world are using it right now. And if you go to the website, we talk about the power of simple. Because if I am running the business, I don't want to learn anything new. There are like so many products out there, right? So it is about something that is closer to what I think about as my problem, right? It has also enabled me to solve it with very little understanding of how the system works, right? That's the strength of what we have.
And based on that, is that to say it's sort of an AI-based solution where AI comes in to sort of save the day or help the human workflow?
It does to an extent, because we always talk about something called semantic gap, right? You have systems and you have users. And both of them can't talk each other's language, right? So users they don't understand system language, and system don't understand the user's language, right? So that's where we need a translator to translate the needs from users to system. The translators are programmers, are IT teams. But if you look at the AI, that literally reduces this gap. AI says, okay, I understand your language. I understand the business language. You talk to me like you talk to another human, right? I will get the work done for you, right? That's the power of AI here in the low-code paradigm, right? So the business user, without understanding the systems, they will be able to talk to the system, right? Automate or implement the whatever transformations they want in their teams or departments. And the system can actually do it for them instead of user understanding anything about systems, right? That's the big paradigm shift that is happening right now with AI.
Just based on that, just to expand a little bit, should businesses look at AI? I mean, there's always these concerns, right? But should they approach AI with the mindset that, hey, if I implement AI correctly, it reduces business risk?
Yeah. See, AI can't run business, right? If you look at business, there are so many variables that leads to every decision that you take. For example, if I'm going to take the train today, right? AI can't take a decision because it's not just based on traffic. It is based on, for example, where I want to get to, right? It's about I am taking my family to dinner today, right? A lot of other variables that is not available for AI to take a decision. So AI can only assist the users in taking decisions. There are a lot of biases that come into play. AI may not understand, all right? So if you see AI as an assistant to you, instead of AI that is replacing what you do, then you will actually embrace AI, right? But if you see it as a threat, AI can never replace humans, right? Humans works with emotions, biases, and a lot of other variables that are not available in the systems, all right? So AI can never replace humans, but AI can reduce the work of humans. AI can provide insights that is not otherwise available for humans to take decisions, right? So there's a change in perception, right? If you actually see it in a different dimension, then you will actually see AI as a very humble, very intelligent servant, right, instead of a threat.
I think that's the key word there, that change in mindset that's required. I've been speaking with Dinesh Varadharajan, who is Chief Product Officer for KissFlow. Dinesh, I appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having me as part of the show.
To listen to the full interview, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio, at the App Store and Google Play.